Hey, man. Until they ran me over. Praise God. God is good. All the time, amen. It's great to be here this morning just to share the word. You know, it's a privilege to come here and see what God is doing in my hometown. You know, God has a calling for Bray. He has a heart for Bray, as he has a heart for every town in Ireland. But he's really pressing in, and he's shaping things, and he's moving things, and he's kind of, you know, you can see it happening. You know, over the last 4 or 5 years, like, you know, you see the prayer ground being answered, and you see things happening, you see things moving, and you see the shape of things, and it's great to come and witness that, and it's great that Liberty is part of that, amongst other people, but it's great that Liberty is part of that. And so be blessed when you come to a fellowship like that. If you can think about this place 20 years ago, or even 30 years ago, there's nothing like this at all, you know what I mean? There was a couple of churches around the place, but you know, there was Christians that were trying. And I remember even in my own kind of background, when Christians used to come and take us off for, as we're going to talk about that in the sermon, Christians used to come and take us off for days out and stuff like that, and what we used to put them through, you know what I mean? But we're building on what they've done, amen? We're building on what they've done, and we're building on their prayers and their heart for this town. So it's great to be involved in that. It's a fantastic thing to see the fruit coming to pass, amen? If you want to turn with me, I'm going to speak about the presence of God. And it's great that song finished off there. And it wasn't contrived or anything like that. I do want to speak about the presence of God. I want to speak about how the presence of God changes an atmosphere. And how it changes the situation in our lives. And about the will of God in our lives. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to comprehend. And it's hard to understand that God is at work in people's lives before they even know it. And before they even realize it. I was at a meeting last week in Finglas, and we were doing our prayer night in Finglas. And I don't know if anyone knows about Finglas and all that. Finglas has a bad reputation. You know what I mean? It has a bad reputation for being a lawless town and a lot of crime and all that kind of stuff. But yet God is still in the middle of it all. He's right in the middle of it, right in the place called the bottom of the hill, right in the middle of the town. And we were having our prayer night there, and we were praying, and all of a sudden a load of youth came in. Just out of the blue, and it was almost like that. I was saying to those young people, because they were all laughing and giggling and they were all kind of making a joke out of things and all that kind of stuff. And it reminded me going back in the past where Christians used to take me off and take us off for the day. We would be laughing and giggling and we'd be slagging them and making jokes out of it and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, I was sharing my testimony with them, and I just turned around and said that I think God is having the last laugh here, because you're in here. You're in here, and God is working in your life before you even know it. And you know, a guy came up and shared his testimony about being in prison and about addiction and all that kind of stuff. And I got to share my testimony. He says, "Now look what you just heard. You just heard a story that you hadn't dreamed of." So God is working in your life before you even know it. And the presence of God is in your life. And it was, you know, it was a tremendous story of what God is doing in our lives. That the presence of God is working in our lives. And that God is changing us, and he's changing our situation. So I want to try and build a sermon on that kind of context. If you turn with me to the Song of Songs, it's chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 6. And when you talk about this, when you look at Solomon, and when you look at the Song of Songs, you're looking at, every time you study the Old Testament, you're looking at a shadow of the New Testament. Every time that you hear and you hear stories like this, what I'm going to share in a couple of minutes, you're hearing stories about the Christ. And Song of Solomon is all about the Christ. It's about the relationship that Christ has with the church. And you hear about the lover and the beloved, and the lover is Christ and the beloved is the church. And when you hear stories about that, and when you're reading the Old Testament, you're looking at a shadow of the New Testament. You're looking at a shadow of what was to come and who was to come. And how he is to come. And when we're looking at this, you're looking at a type of Christ's relationship with the church. And who is the church? The church is us. And you're looking at Christ coming and he changes everything. But you're also looking at a need. And you're also looking at the way he comes in and he turns the need upside down. And he changes everything by his very presence. And so when we pick it up here, we're picking up in verse 6. And it's, this Song of Songs is a beautiful thing. And you see the beloved and the lover, and you see them searching for each other and finding each other. And all of a sudden, the lover says, or sorry, the beloved says, she says, who is this coming up from the desert? Like a column of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and incense, made from all the spices of the merchant. Look, it's Solomon's carriage, escorted by 60 warriors, the noblest of Israel. All of them wearing the sword, all experienced in battle, each with his sword at his side, prepared for the terrors of the night. And it's a tremendous picture of how the presence of God has an effect in our life. And it's poetry, but it's also an explanation of just what happens when we invite Jesus to come in, or when we have a access to God, or when we are God conscious, that we have this available to us. And I got this scripture many years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a very difficult period in my life. And I shared a little bit of my testimony. It was a very difficult period in my life where I had just started working in Teague Lane, and I had moved from a secular environment, working into a very much extremely spiritual environment where we were working with young addicts, and we were discipling them, and we were converting them, and we were building them up, and we were disciplining them, and we were doing a whole lot. I mean, and when you do that kind of work, and just as Rob was saying there, and you know, if you step into being a pastor, or if you step into being a leader, all of a sudden you're at war. All of a sudden the enemy comes against you, and he really does that. He comes against you because he doesn't want you standing up. And even in your own personal life, and even if you go home, we all have an enemy that comes against us, and we all have something that tries to rob us of our testimony and our witness. There's a spiritual force at work that tries to shut us up and sit you back down, and you have nothing to say. And every time you do have something to say, it tries to contradict that and come against that. And as I was up there working in Teague Lane and working with these guys, the enemy of my soul came against me with a vigor that I've never experienced in my whole Christian life. And I remember one time, it started with this. I was lying in bed one night, and all of a sudden I fell asleep, and I woke up choking. And I got into such a state, I never experienced that like this in my life. I got into such a state that I was afraid to go back asleep again. And I started having this panic attack, a serious panic attack, where I started having palpitations. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't go back asleep. I was afraid to go back asleep because I thought I was going to die. And all of a sudden, in desperation, I got out of bed and I went downstairs about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't know what to do. And instinct kicked in, my Christian instinct kicked in, and I cried out to God, and I grabbed my Bible, and I turned on the God channel. I don't usually watch the God channel, but I just turned anything spiritual, I turned it on. And all of a sudden, God started to move in my life. Just as the enemy came against me, God came with me. And all of a sudden, I turned on the telly, and you couldn't believe it. It was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and the guy that led me to the Lord came on the telly. Live, a guy called John Edwards came on the telly, and he was standing there looking out, there's the guy that led me to the Lord, and he was live, and I was trying to email him and stuff, and he was live. And all of a sudden I got down on my knees and said, Lord, you need to help me here, I feel like I'm losing my mind here. And all of a sudden, the enemy was hopping on me, if I want to put it in better terms, and I was absolutely tormented in my mind. And I said, Lord, give me a scripture, Lord. Help me here. Give me a word. And I opened up my Bible. The Bible turned to Song of Solomon. And I turned to this verse. And I talked about the presence of the Lord coming into my life, right at my deepest need. And what is it like? And it says, who is this coming up from the desert like a column of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and incense, that is bought in the market? And what that's talking about there is it's the very fragrance of God. If you're ever in a room and someone comes in and they're wearing really expensive perfume or aftershave, you notice it straight away, don't you? You know that, man, that guy smells good. Or she smells great. Like there's millions and millions and millions of euros being spent in this country every year for perfume, because people want to smell good. And when you don't want to smell bad, do you come into an atmosphere, man, he smells rotten. So we spend a lot of money not wanting to smell good. But it talks about that
it talks about the Lord, and when he comes in with all these fragrances in the marketplace that are so expensive that the normal person can't buy, this fragrance comes into this room and absolutely changes the atmosphere. Changes the whole atmosphere of the building or wherever you are, that the Lord changes that because he comes in and he comes in with this fragrant scent of him. And it also says that he comes in and he comes in on a carriage. But what that speaks about is that it speaks about the authority. That if you go back into history, the only people that were carried around were kings and royalty. They were the only people that could be carried around. And it's just a type. That Solomon comes in and he comes in carried. In other words, that the authority of God comes into a situation. That he is the King of Kings. That he is the Lord of Lords. There's none above him. That nobody can overpower this man. Nobody can come against this. Nothing can have any more authority than this man. And that's what the time when the presence of God comes in, it comes in with authority and with power and with stature. And it's something that you can rely on and call out to and grab onto, because that's what it's talking about there. Who is this coming from the desert? Coming carried in. But also what he comes in with, 60 warriors. Are you hearing the language about the presence of God? That he comes in and it's like a person coming in with 60 warriors, and not only just ordinary warriors, the best warriors of the whole land, and every one of them wearing a sword, and every one of them ready for battle, and every one of them skilled warriors. And these are the ones that, this is what comes in with the presence of the Lord, this is what comes in with the King. And so in my desperation, and I'm sitting there, and I'm panicking, and I'm thinking, I can't even go to sleep here, and the enemy's coming against me, God was trying to speak to me. He says, hold on for a minute, I'm coming in here. And look at the way I'm coming in. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And all of a sudden I started to get hope here. And I started to see God for who he really is and see the enemy for who he really is. And all of a sudden God started to pick me up off the ground. And started to show me the confidence that you can have in him. Is in the fact that he comes in and he comes in with great authority. And he comes in with great strength and great power. And the boy was very clear here, because it talks about, he says, you're all wearing this sword and you're all experienced for battle. And it said, this is what really turned me upside down with this one. He said he came in prepared for the terrors of the night. And all of a sudden, that whole situation changed for me. I was completely delivered instantly, because I knew my God can set me free from these terrors. I knew my God can bring me out of this, because my God just spoke to me. Very, very clearly, and he told me who he is, and he told me what he is, and he told me who he is to be trusted. And I can hang on to him, because he has 60 warriors by his side, and they're all ready for battle. And I don't have to fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. And all I have to do is trust in him, and all I have to do is walk beside him, and all I have to do is call out to him. And that's what's available for me. And it was a very beautiful thing, and a very real thing. And faith is a very real thing. And I want to share a couple of things and kind of getting a bit tough here with things, but I have to say this to go with it. Because, when you're called to preach a message, you have to give in the hard stuff with the good stuff. So, I don't do it at all. But God put it on my heart and over the last few months that there is, in society, and we don't like to be too black and white in society. We don't like to be too, everything needs to be politically correct. You need to be careful what you say. You need to be easy on that. And you need to be watching that, because you don't want to offend them. And if you offend them, then they'll get offended. And you end up getting tied up in knots. You can't say a word. But the reality is, when you're preaching the gospel, that the word has to be spoke. And God spoke to me over the last few weeks. And he said that, he put it on my heart that there's kind of two people in society. And this can be very tough, but there's a godless person and a godly person. There's a godless person and a godly person. I said to the Lord straight away, I can't ever say that language, ever. And God says, of course you can say that language. He said, what's a godly person then, God? I couldn't have an idea what a godless person is. And all of a sudden I started getting into this business of a godly person. And my view of a godly person, especially when I was growing up and I was this kind of holy Joe type of person, prim and proper, kind of, you know, goes to Mass every day and you know, wears a suit and always has a smile and always this, that, and the other. And that's a godly person. Wow, a Holy Mary or a Holy Joe, that's a godly person there. Wow. And that person was so out of my reach that I could never be that person. And I said, God, do you want me to talk about that type of person? Because I remember growing up as a kid that going to Mass or looking at things. And even when those Christian people used to come and take us away, I used to always say to myself, I could never be like that. I could never be one of those parents. They're so out of my reach that the only thing I can do with these people is drive them mad. And that's what we used to drive them mad. I always remember them. They used to come in, pull into the cars, and we'd all run to them, and they'd let us into their cars, all these fancy cars and all that kind of stuff. And all we do is drive them mad for about 4 hours or 5 hours, breaking things and robbing them and slagging them and laughing at them and this, that, and the other. And there was one real gentle guy, I always remember him driving in, and he was a real gentle guy. Hello, everybody. Yeah, jump into my car. We're going to go up to Glendalough. We'll all take you off for today. And all this. And he was a real gentle guy. And I remember him pulling back home about 4 hours later. And he was, get out of this car. He ended up, I think, you know, giving one of the lads a thump in the shoulder and everything. Real gentle guy turned into this madman. And that's the effect that we had on people. Let's just see where we can go with this and drive these people mad. Because me anyway, I can't speak for all the other people, but me anyway felt that these people, this godly kind of stuff was so out of my reach that I could never be like that. I'm too broken, I'm too wrong, I'm too sinful, I'm too all of that. And I was so disenfranchised from that type of life that it was so out of my reach that I might as well go to Mars. And I said to the Lord, God, do you want me to speak with that? And God said to me, that's not a godly person. And I said, Lord, what is a godly person? And he said it very clearly, a godly person is a person that has the capacity to call out to God. A godly person is a person that's conscious of God, that can, in his mess or in her mess, cry out to God. That's a godly person. They're godly. They're God conscious. They have the ability and the faith to even reach out to God and say, God, if you're there, help me. And all of a sudden I felt that, yeah, that's me. That's who I am. So, yeah, I am a godly person. I'm a person that when, right through my whole day, I'm conscious of God. I might be on my knees 14 hours a day, or I might be reading my Bible 10 hours a day, but I'm conscious of God. I'm a godly man. I know God's there. I know he helps me. I know he's with me. I know he's not against me. I know he loves me. I know he has a plan for me. I know he has set me free. I know he gives me hope. I'm a godly man. I call out to God. I seek God, and that's my godliness. And so all of a sudden I said, yeah, Lord, that's for me. But then there is a godless person. There is a person that doesn't have God at all in their lives and is not conscious of God. And none of this is for them. They don't understand the presence of God. They could never see that. They could never see God coming in his power and his authority. They could never see God coming in with 60 warriors ready to protect me and ready to keep me from the terrors of the night. They have nothing. They're godless. There's no God in their lives. There's no person, there's no spirituality, there, and there's nothing to turn to, and all they have inside them is nothing. Emptiness and deadness. And so there's a godless person and a godly person. And so when the godly person avails of all this kind of stuff, they understand that God has a plan for their lives, and God has his presence that they can avail of all the time. And that's what I'm hoping, that everybody, if you're hearing this message, that this is for you. That you can turn from a place of, I don't know if there's people that need to know the Lord in this room this morning. We're all godly people. But we have to understand that there's always access to God. That there's no one disenfranchised from the presence of God. This is for you. You can sit there and say, who is this coming in from the desert? It's my God. They say it's Solomon, but what they're saying is it's Christ. It's Jesus coming in. And look at the way he's coming in. Look at the manner he's coming into my life. Carried in on a carriage with authority and power, with 60 warriors by his side. That's my godliness. That's who I turn to in my darkness, in my emptiness. You see, it talks about the terrors of the night. And again, a city is at its most vulnerable at night time. And a person is at their most vulnerable at night time. In other words, in the darkness. And you know where you only understand the real you. And a lot of time, we're not real when we're around our friends. And in some cases, I'm saying that we're not really the real me when even when we're in church. Wow, just said it. Sometimes we're not the real me. We're just kind of, yeah, this is my church body language. This is my church talk. And this is both. And then when I meet people out in the street, well, this is my street body language. This is how I say hello to people. And then we go for a coffee or a tea or whatever. And there's never really, you're never really real. You know when you are real? You know when you're at your most real? Is when your head hits the pillow at night when you're on your own. That's the real you. Talking and communicating to yourself and what you're saying. How you're talking to your inner being. How you're judging yourself. How you're communicating. And how you're digesting your life and thinking about what you said to that person and what you said to this person. Who am I to say that? And all of that conversation is the real you. And sometimes that can be a very dark place for a lot of people. Especially when your memories come. Especially when your fears start to come at you. Especially when voices from the past start to speak to you again. Especially when your own insecurities and everything that kind of has fueled your life up to this point starts to be real again. And you don't have anyone to bounce it off other than yourself. See, this is the terrors of the night. Anyone know about darkness? Anyone know about dark times? Anyone know about the darkness of the night? It's a reality in all our lives. There's nobody immune to it. Don't care who you are. We all have that. That's going to, you know, there's an ability for that to happen to us all, where we can go into a dark place, where we can go into a place of emptiness. But the reality is that Jesus is there for us. His presence is there for us. We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to be on our own ever. For he will never leave us, nor forsake us. And we always have the presence of God in our lives, for the godly person. The poor unfortunate godless never has that. But the godly person always has the Lord. No matter what you do. I used to always think that God could never come into my life because I'm wretched. That's not true. There's no truth in that. God comes into my life because of his grace, and because of his goodness, and because of his mercy. And he comes in. Who is this coming from the desert with all that fragrance and all that authority and all that power? Isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't God good? Don't ever talk yourself out of this. Don't ever talk yourself out of being a Christian and having been available in this stuff. Don't ever talk yourself out of that. Don't ever let anyone else talk you out of it either. Turn with me to Luke 4 and I'll finish with this. If you turn with me to Luke 4. And we talked about the presence of God. And we talked about Song of Solomon's prophesying and talking about Christ and talking about what was to come and talking about the presence of God and talking about the lover and the beloved and talking about the church. And all of a sudden we pick it up in Luke 4 where Jesus is a reality. He has come. He's here. And we look at verse or chapter 4 there where he speaks his first sermon, where he speaks to his own people in Nazareth, and he goes to his own synagogue where people he grew up in, his friends and whatever, his customers from his carpentry shop or whatever, and he went to them first and he spoke to them first, and all of a sudden it's the lover, and he's speaking to the church, and he's speaking to his people, and he's speaking about what he's going to do and about how he's going to do it. And it says that, he said he went to Nazareth in verse 16, and where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, and was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled it up and the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of the synagogue were upon him, fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, all of a sudden, the presence of God is there. But what is that presence going to do? Is he just going to sit there and look tough? Is it just going to be, this, let's all look at him? Or is there a purpose behind it? Well, there's an obvious purpose behind it. He has come to preach the good news. He has come for the freedom of the prisoners. And all of a sudden, we're understanding the presence of God. And when the presence of God comes in, the prisoners are set free. The prisoners are set free. But prisoners from what? And prisoners, and how did they get into the prison? And it says there, and recovery from sight to the blind. And all of a sudden, that he's given recovery from sight from the blind. But all of a sudden, then we're getting a picture of humanity, where Jesus is saying that they're prisoners and that they're blind. And then he says that to release the oppressed and to proclaim the Lord's favor. So they're prisoners, blind, and oppressed. And it's my job to set them free. And I've come to set them free. Isn't that a tremendous thing? Isn't that a tremendous thing? That my presence is going to give people back their sight, release them from prison, and deliver them from their oppression. And the amazing thing is, if you look at it, who is this coming out of the desert? And where did he just come from? The desert. He just come from being tempted. And all of a sudden, this presence that's coming out of the desert has now come in as Jesus, and it now is saying that I have come to set you free. I have come to deliver you. I have come to release you from your oppression. And the reality is that when we don't understand who God is, and we don't understand the role of God, and we don't understand what God wants to do in our lives, we don't understand the purpose behind Jesus coming, but then we can live in a place where we are blind, where we are oblivious to anything of God, where we are oblivious to anything that God wants to do in our lives. And it's not a blindness that you might think. It's not a blindness. It's not a blindness of the obvious things, but it's a blindness to who God is and what God can do in your life. I've talked to many people, and they sat there in front of me, and I say, "Look, Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus wants to do this. Jesus wants to." And they're looking at me, going, "I don't need any freedom. I can see you perfectly." But yet the reality is that they're in addiction and they can't get out of it. Or the reality is, like I was dealing with a fella. And I was trying to get him to understand about being oppressed and about being blind. And a lot of people get offended by that, if you say it to them. A lot of people get, you know, who do you think you are talking to me like that? But I'm saying to this guy, you know, you need to start dealing with this because this is holding you back. And the same guy was dealing with his relationship with his father, who had been dead for nearly 10 years. And his father still had that hold over him and still had that grip on him that he was afraid to even speak unless he'd be put down. He was afraid to even get on with his life and to talk amongst people. This same guy couldn't be in a room with 10 or more people in case one of them would say something to him. And I said, that's the oppression I'm talking about, that Jesus has come to set you free from that, to release you from that. And there's lots of people that think that I don't need this and I don't need that. But yet, if they're trying to live their lives or they're trying to accomplish things in their lives, they can't do it. They can't get on with things. They hold back and they have no voice. And they have nothing to say to anybody. And they have no outlook on things. And they're kind of inwardly looking all the time. And they're saying and you're trying to convince them that Jesus wants to set you free from that. He wants to give you your heart. He wants to give you your life. He wants to give you your dignity and your self-respect. He wants to give you a place in this community. He wants to give you a voice. He wants to release you from the things that you cannot see anything that's spiritual. He wants to set you free from a spiritual blindness where you can never avail of the things of God because you don't even know they're there. That's the blindness that he's talking about. That you don't have the ability to go and seek out a quiet place, open the Bible and start reading about God. There's a lot of, we all get fixed in our heads that we're oblivious to all that, but there's thousands and thousands of people out there that can never do that. That never have that in their lives, the ability. We all take it for granted. A lot of us will go home today or tomorrow and sit there and comfortably relax and start reading the Bible and enjoy it, and that's a great thing. But there's thousands of people out there that's nothing. That was so far away from their lives, it's impossible for them to get there. But the reality is that Jesus says that you can be there. That's the spiritual blindness that we're in. And all of that, in our lives, we end up in a prison. And we end up being prisoners. And the definition of a prisoner is that he's unable to go, or she's unable to go where she wants to. And she's unable to do, or he's unable to do what he wants to. And that's the definition of a prisoner. I'm in prison, where I can't go, and I'm not free to do anything. But Jesus says, I've come to set the prisoner free. I've come to deliver that person out of that prison and start to live for who God has done, where God wants them to live and what God wants them to do in their lives. And isn't that an amazing thing? And isn't that a beautiful picture of the presence of God, guys? That when he comes in, that he sets us free from all of these things, but also, and I'll leave it with this, also that in our lives, with this presence, don't you know that we all have the presence of God in us? Don't you know that we all, that the God dwells within me, not me, but Christ in me? And when I go into a situation, I'm going in with the presence of God. I'm going in with the authority of God. I'm going in with the yes and the amen of God. I'm going in with the, listen, I feel that God says this, and God can do this for you. God can, you know, let me speak God into your life. And don't you know that the scriptures say that? And don't you know that God would never say that about you? And don't you know that's a lie, that God says a different truth in your life? And God has a better truth for you. And God has a new word for you. And that's what we bring into certain situations. That's what we bring in. That's the presence that we bring around with us. That if we can understand that we have this fragrance. We have this authority. We have this power that when we meet people and when we deal with people, that we can say something into a situation. That Jesus wants to set that person free from being blind. So I am the vehicle. The only reason I'm here today is from people's testimonies and the work of people in my life. So it's my job now. Are you with me? It's my job now. A man came into my life, came into my house, looked at my wounds, and got me off to rehab and prayed for me incessantly. Now it's my job. If he didn't do that, I wouldn't be here. And now it's all of our jobs. That we go and we pray and we look out, we seek out and we help and we bring people to the church and we bring people to the presence of God and we bring the presence of God. That people will say in the future, who is this coming out of the desert? Who is this coming into my life? Who is this coming in and setting me free and bringing that presence in? Isn't it a great thing? That we have that authority to go, look, Jesus can set you free. That Jesus has the authority to deliver you and take you out of the prison. I think that's a very exciting thing. And it's something I get very excited about. Amen? Amen. So you know, I'm going to, you know, we need to come up for prayer. We need to come up for prayer. But what we need to pray about is we need to understand and we need to get a revelation that the Lord is moving in our lives. That he is working in our lives. And that he's also working in our communities. And we just need to be able to have the confidence to start to speak out. That we have the authority to bring people in. And that we are constantly vigilant and watching of how we can help that person. And what can I say to that person? It goes for me, it goes for Rob, it goes for all of us. That what can I say? What's my, how can I change this atmosphere for this person? What can I say to that person that can change things? Can I invite that person to coffee? Can I bring them to church? Can I do that? Can I do that? And that's what God is saying to us, that we have the authority now to bring the presence of God into people's lives. So if that's something that you're not confident in, if that's something that you wouldn't be very, that wouldn't be something that, as my personality dictates to me, that wouldn't be me. But then come up for a prayer that God could change that. Be brave. Come up for prayer and say that God can change that in me. And also, if I'm going home and there might be many people in my home that are Christian, that I can bring the presence of God into my home. And that it can be sustained. And that it can be something that I can move around with authority. So if that's you, then come up for prayer that you can have the ability to be able to sustain that in your own home. Even in your own personal life. If it's someone that's struggling with addiction or struggling with you feel that they're in prison or you feel that they're oppressed, then come up for prayer and watch God setting you free from your oppression. and being able to speak and being able to confess it. That's what we need to come up for prayer for, to say, Lord, you have just said that you can set me free. Set me free. Amen. Amen. So come on up for prayer. If the worship team want to come back, have you got time for that, Rob? We're all with time. Okay. Well, come on up for prayer. Spend a few minutes praying, and if that's what you want. But let's finish it off. Father, we bless you for your word, Lord. Father, your word just cuts right through, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we have the ability to turn to you. That we're not empty, Lord, and we're not on our own, Lord. That we're not godless, Lord. That we are godly. That we are God-conscious, Lord God. That we are... The presence of the Lord is in our lives, Father God. And that we can avail of you, and we can call out to you, and we can invite you into our situations. That we can believe, Lord, that you have the authority to change our atmosphere. To change our life, Lord God. To bring us out, Lord. To set us free from the oppressive. This, Lord God, of our lives, Lord God, or our community, or wherever, that we can be delivered, Lord God, from the prison, Father God, of our own insecurities, of our own misgivings, of what was said to us in the past and what was done to us, that we can be free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, that we can also bring this freedom into our communities, that we can teach it and preach it and be it, Lord God, that people can be attracted to us, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the witness of this church, and I thank you for the work that's being done in this church, Lord God. I thank you for, you know, it's all of the powerful, Lord God, witness that this church is given in this town, Father God. And I pray that it would be blessed, Lord, and continue, Lord God, and be even strengthened if it can be, Lord. Father, bless us now, Lord God, as we go about our week as well, Lord God. Let us be godly and God-conscious, Lord God. Let us be turning to you, Father, and seeking you, Lord God. Starting with me, Lord.